Welcome into More Important Issues. It is Monday, June 22nd. I know it's looking a little bit different, not just the days, but we're also remote. I know that's not always the case, but we did whatever we could to make it happen. Landon's on vacation. Yesterday was obviously Father's Day. Hope you guys had a wonderful Father's Day, celebrated appropriately, whether you're a father or fathers, whatever it may be. Hope you guys celebrated and enjoyed it. It's great to be back. We got a lot to talk about. I'm pumped. How's the beach, man? I haven't really talked to you much, at least about the beach.
It's good. It's hot. I ate some good seafood. I had a lobster roll last night, so nice. It's been good.
Did you go to Mahoffer shit?
I passed it last night. We went to Clearwater. I passed it coming back. Oh, yeah. It looked like a hole in the wall.
It's awesome. I'm telling you. You got to try it out. If you're ever in Indian Rocks.
Dude, there's a ton of nice houses in Indian Rocks.
Yeah, no. Indian Rocks is nice. I've always enjoyed my time in Indian Rocks. Yeah, if you're ever down there, it's a lot of fun. John's Pass. Y'all get on John's Pass?
Yeah, I think we're like – I rode my bike there today, so we're like a mile away.
Yeah, no, John's Pass is a lot of fun too. We do have a great show for you guys, though. We're talking about some recruiting. It's been one of those weeks, and we've talked about that a lot. We tried to prepare you for it. We'll be talking about it more tonight, and then we've got some team news for you. Some numbers released for some new freshmen.
Yeah. I like it. Just some I love the warrior to slaughter. I think that's probably my favorite move. There's no zero.
There's no zero. Yeah. I'm guessing that they save that for a veteran. Or maybe Jeremy Pruitt's not a zero guy. I don't know.
Maybe he just wants a defensive tackle to get it. Just a big fat defensive lineman getting zero, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's got my thought on it. We are going to talk about the black jerseys. Tennessee did announce last week, and we did a little video on it. But if you didn't get to check that out, we are going to talk about the new alternate jerseys and the black jerseys that Jeremy Pruitt talked about when he met with the media. We are also talking some position previews. We're getting into our position previews. Later on in the week, we'll go back to our opponent previews, and we're talking Furman. That's later on in the week. Tonight, we're talking position previews, going to talk about the safeties. And we'll get more into it later, but I expect a lot out of this position group.
Yeah, I think especially with the two head coach or the two coaches that coach, you know, kind of that position with Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley with their kind of record with those defensive backs, you would like to think with those young guys, guys that have been in their program for a while, that they would take that next step in their development.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll see. I just want picks.
Yeah. I feel like last year was really weird, and maybe we'll talk about this too. I feel like we had games where we had like two interceptions, three interceptions, and then games we had zero, obviously. Our turnover was very high.
It was a little inconsistent, but I feel like we did get better toward the end. Right. We played some weird teams like Kentucky. They threw it like, what, one time?
Yeah.
And it was an interception. So you have I think room to improve, and I want to see what Trayvon Flowers looks like. He's finally healthy.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he's able to finish out a season. That'd be nice.
I think there's some high expectations for him this season. Then we're talking about no more Dougs. He did win Tennessee a national championship. You got to appreciate that. But rip in peace to old Coach Duggerton.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted. Some good advertising, good good for Tennessee to get their name out to thousands of people. But let's move on.
Absolutely.
And then if he moved on, we'll move on.
Right. At Lane Kiffin. We got some segments, most important and fail of the week. So make sure you hang around for those. If you got questions, drop them. I just got on Twitter. Sorry. I was grabbing something real quick. And I'm also on YouTube pulling that up right now. If you got any questions, drop them in the comments. We'll follow along. If we don't answer it immediately, hang on. We've got a special part of the show. We'll answer every question. So if we missed it, just hang around and we will get to it. Before we jump all the way into the show, Landon's got some sponsors to tell you about. Also, I know we don't have giveaways right now, But don't worry, we'll be getting back to giveaways. So make sure you go and sign up for an account on volunteerroadshow.com so you can be entered in those giveaways. There's going to be some big ones coming up at the as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Go check out our sponsors, Hound Dogs and Tennessee Tap House. Go get you some ball gear. Then go head over and get you a brew. Get you a nice little cold beverage from Tennessee Tap House and, you know, just make a day out of it.
Absolutely. That's Tennessee gear and beer. There's not, you can't get better days than that. So,
yeah, it's like anytime I want to open a beer, I'm like, oh, I got to go put on some orange.
Exactly. Yep. Let's jump right into the show, though. Recruiting, man, it has been a weird one. We knew this was going to happen, and we kind of talked about it. We didn't want it to be big game guys, I guess the situation's kind of gotten weirder. But four-star Kamar Wilcoxon, if I can pronounce his name correctly, officially decommitted from Tennessee on Friday. That was Friday, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And
I think my day's kind of mixed up. So we drove through the night, so it's weird. But yeah, I think it was Friday.
Friday, yeah, maybe it was. It was Friday afternoon. I'm okay. Remembering now. It was Friday afternoon. He committed to Florida. I guess he didn't even announce his decommitment to Tennessee. Committed to Florida, and then I haven't checked his. This is what we're talking about with 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds. You never know until the paper's signed. It seems now he may no longer be committed to Florida.
Yeah, he deleted everything. I just don't get it. I mean, that's just make up your mind, man. Well, I mean, you're not making any – I understand you're 18 years old, but, like, you're not making any friends whatsoever through this whole process.
No, and he was one that you kind of saw there was potential that he might be decommitting. And it was kind of unfortunate because he's a guy that when he committed, he was recruiting a bunch of guys. He mm-hmm. was kind of working hard. He was one of the main points of this class. But now it seems like everyone was caught off guard, which was, you know, at least all the commitments. And you saw a bunch of tweets. It looks like nobody else is going anywhere. And that was my only kind of, I guess, like, reservation about him decommitting is, like, I just don't want anybody else to go, not necessarily go to Florida with him, because that's probably not going to happen, but decommit from Tennessee. That hasn't happened yet, and the guys that were kind of recruited by him kind of spoke out and said, like, yeah, we're committed to Tennessee, and that's that. So that's good. I don't think you lose anybody because of him.
No, I think he was big in getting people to where he wanted to go, but he just kept, you know, liking Florida stuff. He kept saying it was his dream school, but so you kind of saw it in the water that, you know, he was going to end up at Florida. But it's just a weird, like you said, it's a weird situation. In 14 months, he's decommitted three times. So it's like, yeah, just make up your mind. Because anytime from what he did now, if he sticks with Florida, which I hope he does, I wish him the best. But anytime that he plays Tennessee, every single mistake is going to be highlighted. Every single one of them.
Right. I think this is his.
They're going to be posted on Twitter. It's every single mistake is going to be out there for everybody to see.
I think this is his third time committing to Florida, right?
Yep.
Well, if he's committed, I guess we don't.
Yeah. So his first time was in like November of 18. And then he like decommitted in April of 19 and then recommitted. And I don't know. It's just a lot to keep up.
You love the recruiting drama. Everyone's kind of talked about since Friday. This is why they don't keep up. I mean, yeah, it's a reason to, because it doesn't necessarily matter until signing day. That signing day in December or signing day in February. And nowadays, it seems like you can't even count them in until they're actually on campus. It seems like some of these, you know, and it's not as popular as people decommitting or anything. Don't get me wrong. But there's been several cases in the last couple years, not just at Tennessee, where kids have signed their national letter of intent and never made it to campus and end up going to another school. So it happens, and it's one of those things. It's funny, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, how many times can you really be 100% committed? It's my thing.
That too. I mean, yeah.
Like, is that just a lie? Yeah, yeah. Does it just go down as soon as you, like, the next day you're at 99, 98? It just
I think by the third time you're 100% committed, I think you have to assume it's not 100%. But, I don't know. I'm not a math guy.
No.
I do want to – I mean, I guess the good news is it opens. Tennessee's got some guys in there in sights that they want to go after. And anytime you lose a talent like Kamar Wilcox, you don't like it, but at least you have an opportunity to get you. You needed to make space. You had 24 guys signed. You needed some space if you're going to sign more. Again, I'm not like, oh yeah, we're glad it happened. Obviously, we were excited. Tennessee fans were excited when Kamar Wilcoxon committed. So I'm not going to backtrack and bullcrap or anything. But it opens more room. Hopefully, you get a just as talented, if not more talented, guy. That would be great. I mean, Tennessee's picked up more steam recruiting than they had when he originally committed.
Yeah. So I just, you're closing in on that 25 mark, and I think that kind of puts people uneasy if, you're at that 25 mark when they're recruiting you. Cause if you're at 25 and, somebody commits, somebody's leaving.
Yep.
You're not signing 26 guys. That's just not how it's going to work. Or you might sign more than that, but somebody's not getting a scholarship.
Right.
So that's, it's good for Tennessee that they're able to open up. I hate that it's at a position of need, that defensive back. Cause I feel like, Kamar could have probably been a corner. And really benefited from being at Tennessee. Not to say he wouldn't benefit at Florida, but he could, if Alante or Bryce, Kenneth George will be gone after this year, those are three guys that could potentially not be here next season.
Right.
That's cornerback position would be wide open. So if he was able to come here and compete, he probably had a good chance of playing right away.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, that's why it's not a guy that you're excited to decommit. That's not the case. It is funny, though. I mean, Florida coaches had to backtrack, I guess. This is why you don't tweet shade if you're in a college, especially if you're a college coach. You don't tweet shade. Those kids are going to – there's a good chance they're coming back to you, or, their friends are going to be recruited by you, and it matters what you say. So I find all that interesting, but, I guess he was right. It wasn't his final decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he got it.
Yeah, right. And then they had coaches throwing shade again at Tennessee, saying they're just worried about a video game and they got backdoored.
Yeah, because let me tell you, Jeremy Pruitt was on the edge of his seat for the coaching carousel on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the Florida coaching staff.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Go ahead.
Do you think Jeremy Pruitt could accurately pick out if you just had the shape of, I feel like you could put anything and we're like point to a PlayStation 2. Do you think he could accurately pick it out?
I don't think he could tell the difference in a PlayStation 2 and a PlayStation 3. There'd be no way.
I think if it was like a shadow, he might be able to tell a PlayStation 2. He's younger. He may have played the PlayStation 2. PS3, if you give him Xbox, if you give him just shadow figures where you can't see markings on and stuff, obviously, brand markings, I don't know if he could accurately pick it out.
He probably couldn't.
He didn't know what asparagus was 10 years ago.
It's funny that you say asparagus because we actually we're in the ocean earlier today and somebody had something in the water and I was just like, what is that?
I need a Vol. They have those what was it called with the basketball team? Those little short clips on Instagram. I need a what is that with Jeremy Pruitt where you just – like imagine some of the slang terms that get thrown around in practice that have to be explained to – well, if he asks, that would have to be explained to Jeremy Pruitt.
So it's like a Chris Berman whoop.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is that?
Exactly. I just recently learned, do you know what dummy boss means? Like, I was like, yeah, that's dummy boss. Would you be able to tell me what that mean?
I don't think so.
Like dope, cool. That's dummy boss. I just learned that. Oh. Yeah. I've tried to use it in a sentence like multiple times, but I forget because my head is not just, that there anymore.
So that's what the kids are saying nowadays. I love that we're finally getting to that age where like we don't know things.
Right. The first time I heard it, I was like, excuse me? Pardon me?
Dummy boss?
Dummy boss? It sounds cool. I won't lie. I cannot.
Yeah. But it sounds like a lot. Like our youth, we shortened everything. We shortened our names. We shortened everything.
Yeah, dummy.
But now they're expanding everything. It's weird.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what some others are. But again, like this would be a fun little short scene with Jeremy Pruitt. Explaining this. Like imagine explaining to Jeremy Pruitt that a new Xbox costs $500. a new video game. I feel like he would be. I mean, he might not care anymore. That contract's pretty.
I feel like he reminds me of a dude that's still like frugal. Like he like even though he has money, he probably still wears like team issued stuff.
We know he hasn't upgraded the khakis. The khakis
haven't been upgraded. He's still what do you think he gives him at like JCPenney?
Yeah, probably.
Or a Colt? Is he a Colts guy?
I don't know. I mean, his wife does it. He's never stepped foot in a shopping in a place. His wife does all the shopping. But he's also very particular, I'm sure. He's like, I just want pants from Sam's Club and that's it.
Yeah.
Like that's all I need. Yeah, that's our new. I feel like we've come up with a couple good ideas on this show of some potential shows. So
we haven't followed through with any of them, but
well,
hey,
I haven't been able to go to any pitch meetings. So if anybody knows any, you know, television executives that I could go to a pitch meeting, I feel like I could do this. Just let me know.
Yeah.
I'll gladly step in on a pitch meeting. Just holler at me. just let me know. Team news though. And unless you, I don't know. Well, I guess we didn't mention all about recruiting, which there is.
Yeah, so I do want to mention one more. So Tennessee got some kind of more bad news with 4-star weak side defensive end out of North Carolina, Trevali Price, picked NC State over the Vols. His brother also committed to NC State, and from what I gathered, his brother was offered a scholarship to NC State as a long snapper or a fullback, and we offered him. Yeah, we offered him a preferred walk-on. He's not even rated.
Yeah, that's a good move by NC State. I can't even.
Yeah,
is Doran still head coach there?
Who knows? I mean, they're just checking what they're – so they're nationally ranked 37th. They're 10th in the ACC.
Mm. That's not a good spot to be in the ACC.
And I think they have a 4-star quarterback committed, but I'm pretty sure he has, like, a heart problem.
So, like, he may not be playing college football, heart problem?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of up in the air. So, they have a 4-star, but, you know.
Right. Remember when their best got beat by a Derrick Dooley coach team? That was hilarious.
Yeah.
We had so much hope after that game. It was depressing, to say the least.
You know, we had a lot of hope after we beat Georgia Tech, too. It probably wasn't as much hope.
I was going to say, I don't think it was –
it wasn't quite that much, but you felt excited. You're like, hey, we got past, we won a game.
Because you barely beat Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah.
You barely beat Georgia Tech. Now, NC State, first half was rough, but the second half, I mean, slinging that thing. Zach Rogers had like 2 touchdowns, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, get the white guy the ball.
That was a depressing season.
That's when you know you have a terrible defense. If white people start scoring touchdowns, you know you're in for it.
Or that offense at Jim Chaney is just that good. One or the other.
Okay, yeah, I get you. Could argue either way.
I'm not
splitting hairs.
I'm not telling you what to do. Tennessee moved down. I think didn't we move back up to third and then back down after I think we moved back up after Wolf's commitment.
Hudson Wolf.
And then
we're back down to third.
Back down to third after Wilcoxon's decommitment. So somehow Tennessee's the only team consistently moving. So I guess that's something to hang your hat on. They're trying to keep us entertained in a world without sports. Soccer's back.
We still have a better rating than Florida.
That's true.
NASCAR?
NASCAR's back. The race, didn't it get delayed again today?
Did it? I don't know.
I just saw where they were talking about maybe having to push it back, so maybe not. But yeah, soccer and golf is back, so I'm living in a pretty high. If you bring me college football, I will be the happiest man in the world. Like if I get
you won't leave
soccer and college football, nothing else. I don't need MLB. I don't need NHL. I definitely don't need the NBA. That's all I need. I'm a happy guy. So I also
I'm just good with college football. I'll take the NBA. I'll take the MLB. Soccer and golf, not my thing. So, but I've watched it more because that's on.
There's nothing else on. I have watched the most golf. I watch golf every once in a while, but I've watched the most golf I've ever watched the last 2 weeks. But I've also been playing fantasy on FanDuel. So that's been fun.
Are you winning any money?
I won some the first week at the what tournament was that? If you hadn't asked me, I wouldn't have said it, or I wouldn't have Lost it.
Augusta.
It was not Augusta. I wish. The U.S. Open was supposed to be this week, but
I don't know.
Everything got pushed back. This one was the RBC Heritage. I did not win any money. I sucked this week. It was bad. Mm. I lost, it was a $3 play. It's not like I lost a ton of money. So,
okay.
It is what it is.
Hey, that adds up.
It does add up. So I don't want to make a habit of it. That's for sure.
Right.
The MLB, right before we got on, voted the MLB Players Association. They rejected the 60-game proposal. So wasn't it supposed to? It's like three times.
Oh, God!
It wasn't supposed to come back. Now it's supposed to come back, and now it's not coming back. It's so confusing.
Dude, is Kamar Wilcoxon running the
yes.
Major League Baseball right now?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I don't know what to. I don't know what's going on. I don't follow MLB enough, anyways. But this makes it. I have no clue.
This is like the perfect big cat GIF. The figure it out.
Yeah. Wasn't that in? No, that was in Detroit. I think I was about to say. It kind of looked like Toronto's stadium. The only
figure it out.
Play in a dome.
That's one of my favorite gifts.
Why? So is the NBA coming back? I'm so confused about the NBA. Are they coming?
Well, there was one dude, like the Wizards dude, said I think they are at the end of July. They're okay. Supposed to move to Orlando, but one guy said he's not playing. And it's a white guy for the Wizards. I don't know if he started. I don't ever remember. I feel like I know a little bit about the NBA, and I've never heard of this dude. So if you don't play, maybe Admiral Schofield will get to play. So
right, I don't understand exactly what their reservations are. I get that you're being asked to work during, you know, a pandemic, but when we look at the statistics, you're not. Like that one MLB guy who's like, we're risking our lives. No, dude, no, you're not. Now, if you know you live in, if your 80-year-old grandmother lives in your home and you have to go back home to her, yeah, then that you probably shouldn't be playing. Maybe take the year off. But these guys who was like, oh, you got to move your family to Orlando for 3 weeks. What's the biggest issue with that? There, I mean, people have been working in grocery stores the whole time. I don't know. I realize the seriousness of COVID-19. Don't get me wrong. But I also feel like NBA and MLB players who get paid millions of dollars a year are overreacting a tad bit.
Right. Yeah, I feel like you're risking your life even more just stepping into a batter's box, not really for COVID.
I would probably say, yeah, that a 90-mile-per-hour fastball is going to hurt because a lot of those guys wouldn't even experience symptoms from COVID-19. So it's
right, like, yeah, they would never know they even had it.
Exactly. There's actually a player on the PGA Tour who tested positive on Thursday or Friday and was quarantined immediately. So I'm curious to see this week if you see more get – test positive.
Yeah, what I want to know is about Texas. 28 people?
Yeah, what are they doing in Texas to just everybody's testing positive?
Jesus Christ.
Is it 28 total on Dallas, or is it between Dallas and Houston? I know both of those facilities had...
No, it was Texas Longhorns.
Oh, wow. See, that makes me so nervous. That makes me nervous about college football. Hopefully they don't have to make a decision right now, though. Like... Of these 28 players, I think there were 23 at Clemson, 13 maybe at LSU. How many of them are experiencing symptoms? First off, is what I want to know. Second off, how many of them are being hospitalized? I would like to know that too, because then it's going to tell you what's going to happen to these athletes if they do test positive for COVID.
Right.
Now, I realize that you've got to consider support staff within the team, stadium support staff. Things like that, you know, and then you got to consider travel. I understand you have to consider those things, but a lot of people are acting like they're ready to cancel it now, and that would make absolutely zero sense to me.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation. I still feel like we're not any closer to a like final decision than we were like 2 months ago.
And we shouldn't be. I mean, it should not be. It doesn't need to be made right now. You already have the athletes back on campus. I don't know, and I feel like if a player doesn't want to come back, fine. I mean, should they lose their scholarship? I don't know if they should be awarded one for the next year. I don't know how that should work. Probably so, because it is a decision you have to make. But, and you know, some of these players with underlying health issues, yeah, I'm sure they're going to have to make some tough decisions. But that's also, like, that's such a small percentage of the athletes. Most of the athletes are safe. Like, they're fine. If we're just being 100% honest.
Yep.
That, it's they're safe. I was also going to ask you about something else. What was it? I don't know if you even know if it had to do with COVID. I have no clue. That's all they talk about now. COVID, COVID, COVID.
I know. Even us, like, we find ourselves just going on a tangent about it.
But we're talking about sports, if that makes you feel better. But yeah,
right, yeah.
It's so impactful, and it is, and it should be. But, yeah, it definitely makes me talk about it more than I'd like to. I love that people are like, what do you think about COVID? I just want college football. That's it. Just give me college football.
What do I think about COVID? I'd like to fight it because I would win because I hate it that much.
Landon's going to join the task force for COVID to fight COVID.
Yeah.
It's he owns a ton of UV lights that he's just going to use to fight COVID. Tennessee, I guess we can kind of parlay that into some team news here. Tennessee did have one basketball player test positive for COVID. They didn't release the name, and they're not going to release the name ever. Like Ezekiel Elliott said, HIPAA. What happened to HIPAA? Also, apparently, did you see where his agent released his name?
No.
So he tweeted back, I think it's Schefter, and was like, what about HIPAA? Apparently, his agent is the one who told Adam Schefter that he tested positive. I was like, yeah, dude, you might want to check your own home there.
Yeah, check your people, bro.
So Tennessee's never going to release them.
Good Lord.
I am curious. I don't know if Santiago Vescovi's back. I know Argentina's close to Brazil.
So Vescovi and Uros were not back when that person was tested positive.
Vescovi's probably going to have to, when he gets back, be quarantined for 14 days. I would almost bet. I don't know exactly which countries are on the on that list when they get back to the States, but I know Brazil, COVID-19 is very bad. So, in Argentina's, they border Brazil, right?
So, was he in Uruguay?
Uruguay. Why did I think he was from Argentina? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but Uruguay, South American country. I don't know how that is in Uruguay. And I don't know if Uruguay borders Brazil. I was thinking Argentina the whole time. So.
Gotcha.
And is Uros, is he, where is he at? Because, I mean, I know he kind of calls
Serbia
home. He is in Serbia? Or is he?
They were supposed to make their way back to campus this weekend.
Well, I'm asking, did Uros go to Serbia? Because I know he kind
of. Yeah, he did. Okay. They're both home.
That was my question. But I mean, you expect it. So that's two total that have been released with athletes or people in the athletic facilities for Tennessee. You knew people were going to test positive. I mean, when you look at these football rosters, they're from all parts of the country. Some people in parts of the country that are worse than others. So you expected this. I guess it's kind of good that there's only two, but at the same time, it probably just means you're going to have a spike later in July, whatever.
Right.
So that's the unfortunate part. Or maybe you don't, and maybe they're able to limit the exposure altogether. That's highly doubtful, but because these guys are going out. They're going out to restaurants. They're going out to grocery stores. So they're still at risk when they're in Knoxville. They're not just at risk at home.
Right. Just wear a mask. Be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know. Like, I read some other day where a mask, unless it's like a mask that covers basically your whole entire face, like those germs still kind of get out.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to limit exposure unless you have an N95 mask, which is the one that like not only covers your whole face, but like cups on it. So it fits your face. Yeah, you're really, I mean, there's still a chance you could either spread germs or have them spread to you. But I think it's one of those things. It's like, you can't, N95 masks are not widely available. So it's just kind of make the best of what you can.
Yeah, just be as safe as possible, and good Lord, hopefully we get through it soon.
Right. So apparently the LSU players that got it, three of them got it at a nightclub in Baton Rouge.
Oh, nice.
So they're able to trace back to where they got it. Yeah, so that's – might not be going down to Hannah's anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not. Well, I heard Morgan Wallen was at Wagon Wheel two nights ago.
Oh, so he's bringing it back from Nashville.
Did
he just get into a brawl at one of the honky-tonks?
Probably, yeah.
I think he got in the brawl at Kid Rock's bar.
He's fresh out of court. Come back home and
well, he's not only been in a bar in Nashville, he's been touching others in a bar in Nashville.
And arrested. He's been in jail where the germs are just everywhere.
Oh, God. Yeah, so if you're at Wagon Wheel in Knoxville, stay away from me if you're there this weekend.
Yeah, don't go.
Oh, Landon loves Wagon Wheel. That's his guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I do find myself wanting to go there when I've had a couple drinks somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. I haven't been back since all this.
Yeah, that was pre-COVID when Landon.
Yeah, I just like getting my country on when I have some brews.
They don't even.
I go to Tennessee Tap House, get some brews in me. I want to go to Wagon Wheel.
They don't even play country music at Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, as much pop music as they do, though.
No,
Landon.
No, they play. Copperhead Road. Last time I was there, me and you were both line dancing to Copperhead Road.
All right. Nick, we're gonna go to Wagon Wheel actually this weekend. We're wearing masks. We're the whole suits we'll chart the kind of music they play.
Okay. I'm excited.
I'm not. I'm gonna have to go buy my hazmat suit. So other team news, the freshmen got their numbers officially.
Yeah.
Do you have those?
I do have those. Do you want those?
Yeah, I want to hear them. I thought I had them in my phone. I don't.
So these are the spring enrollees, summer enrollees. So Malachi Wadman, wear number 1, Tyler Barron, number 9, Jimmy Callaway, number 9, Keyshawn Lawrence, number 14, Danico Slaughter, number 18, Jalen Hyatt, 21, Tamari McDonald, number 29, Jabari Small, 33, D. Beckwith, 34, Lenneth Whitehead, 35, Martavius French, 40, T. Hodge, 44, Will Albright, 46, Bryson Easton, 55, Morvin Joseph, 56, Amari Thomas, 58, James Robinson, 71, Javontez Spraggins, 76, Reginald Perry, number 89.
There you go. I like the Tyler Barron wearing the number 9.
Yeah, reminds me of another former Vol.
Exactly.
And they're actually from around the same area. He went to Innsworth before he went to Catholic. So, and Barnett went to Brentwood Academy. So, yeah, maybe.
We'll get our hopes up at least. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I do like Keyshawn Lawrence. He was one of the highest rated players in this class, wearing number 14, like Eric Berry. So I like that one a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I like Reginald Perry, number 89. I think he's going to start off on defense, but I know that he's super athletic, a really good basketball player. So maybe he ends up at a tight end position, just like anybody else, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, if it don't work out, we'll put you at tight end. That seems to be the status quo at Tennessee. I like the Javontez Spraggins. He was, I think when he committed, he was 746% committed, and now he's wearing number 76.
What was that number again? Do you remember the entire reasoning?
746.
Do you remember like why? I remember he put the reasoning on there. I don't remember why though.
Well, he was on our show, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think he told us. He told us on the show.
I don't remember either.
We'll go back and look and pull it up. Lenneth Whitehead wearing 35. That's not much of a running back number, is it?
That's a unisex. It's like both sides.
And T. Hodge, too. Wearing 40.
Yeah, going the same number for Maryville.
And, after that 98 rewatch, I'm getting a little antsy maybe and getting ahead of myself, but – could we see the revolution of fullback and maybe using a running back? Because T. Hodge isn't a small dude, and he's also fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
I would love if you had a fullback like T. Hodge.
Like a Sean Bryson, a guy that can you can utilize in a number of ways. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
What is
going on?
After watching that 98 rewatch, I need a fullback, but not a – I don't need a true Iowa fullback. I need a 4-4 fullback.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Like, I've changed my
stance. They don't make many of them. They don't make a lot of them. But you got to go find you one.
Exactly. But I've changed my stance, and I think T. Hodge is that Sean Bryson guy. I need T. Hodge to make a move to fullback. Fullback slash running back. He's got.
Sure.
I'd say he's bigger than Sean Bryson, right?
I don't know, because everybody in the '90s looked so much bigger than they actually were, just because their pads were so big.
See, I thought Sean Bryson. I mean, for a fullback, I thought he looked small. like,
yeah,
width and height wise, which I'm sure mm-hmm. he was for a fullback. I feel like T. Right. Hodge is, I mean, he's what, like 6'2", 6'3"? He's a big kid. Maybe not.
Yeah,
that
he's
big.
Pretty big. Yeah, probably like 6'1".
Yeah,
he's probably big.
There we go. All right, that's my only ask, Jim Chaney. Let's get a fullback involved, but not an Iowa fullback. I'm talking four, we'll call it 4.5 speed. How about that?
Yeah, and no zeros. Which D. Beckwith said he wanted to wear zero, and they put him at number 34, which is not a wide receiver or tight end number.
Yeah, that's an interesting number.
Yeah. And, you know, these can change because you haven't really lost anybody besides Tim Jordan, who we'll talk about in a second. So maybe you see some of these guys kind of switch around a little bit. But yeah, D. Beckwith number 34, that's the odd one to me.
That is strange. I didn't notice that one. Didn't stand out to me. I don't know why. I guess I was focused on some other guys. But yeah, that is a strange number.
And Jalen Hyde at 21. That's kind of an odd one as well.
It is, but someone pointed out the Derrick Rogers number.
It was, yeah.
So I kind of like it.
I just think when I see 21, I think it's Sean Taylor. So I feel like that should always be on defense.
Didn't Zach Rogers' brother wear 21 too? What was his name? He was before Derrick.
What was his name? I don't remember his name.
Was it 21, though? He wore 21?
I don't know. Mm. I know Zach wore 83.
Yes, Zach definitely didn't wear it. I'll see if I can find it real quick.
I know Jaquez Jones was number 21 last year before he transferred.
Gotcha.
He did play wide receiver, but he didn't play very much.
Right.
So, I don't know. I know that Kasim Hill, he was number 20 last year. He moved to 11. So I guess they just, like, didn't have that many numbers.
Austin Rogers was his name. Let's see what number he was.
Okay. Is he a tight end?
No, he's a wide receiver. He's 21. Okay. I would guess his stats are probably better than Zach Rogers. Maybe not Zach's senior year. I feel like Zach had some good games his senior year.
Yep.
But I would bet that Austin Rogers had some. See, he played, I think he was like 05 to 08. So he finished with 891 receiving yards for his career. Had a really good year in 07. Went out. Oh, there I am. And then 180 in 2008. So.
Okay.
Looks like he left his – looks like he redshirted his freshman year. No, he didn't. He's got two sophomore years on here, though. That's weird. Oh, well. I don't know. Austin Rogers. I remember Austin Rogers, yeah. 21, big 21.
I like the Danico Slaughter. I think that's a.
I like the Slaughter. First off, I like the name. You can't.
Yeah.
That's an awesome name.
I saw somebody on Twitter, I think it was Chad Fields, say that we need to make number 18. Anybody who has a great last name, they wear number 18.
I can support that fully.
I like that.
Who'd you say was in 14 again?
Keyshawn Lawrence.
I like it. Yeah, I think that's a number that needs to be reserved for someone great. So, for sure.
So Tim Jordan.
Yes, we briefly talked about this on Thursday. I was thinking we had talked about it. That's unfortunate. And we talked about this in the video as well. And we've talked about it prior to this, the athletes returning to campus. Man, when you put them home, that's just. I mean, they can get into trouble. Obviously, they can get in trouble on campus. There's no doubt about that. But it's harder to keep up with them. It's harder to communicate with them. It's harder to hold them accountable when they're home. And then they're home for – when you're a Division I, especially football athlete, you're not home for more than, at the most, a month at a time when you're in college. I mean, you're not home a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially when you play on a team that made a bowl game. You don't get to go home during that break, like, you know, some of the other either students or athletes would. So it's a tough environment, and you know, he made a mistake, and this just wasn't. I hate it for him. It's part of the business of college athletics. You made a mistake when they were looking to cut numbers.
Yep, they were at about 93, and they wanted to get 85, and you make a mistake, and you're already going to be lower on the depth chart anyway. So it's just easier to cut ties. So, yeah, bad mistake at the wrong time.
Yeah, I don't know how big the mistake would have to be for Jeremy Pruitt to cut you right now. But this one's pretty big. I mean, drug charges is one thing. Gun charges is probably one thing. But when you're talking about carrying a weapon with an intent to sell, and I mean,
a loaded weapon.
And we can debate the, you know, I understand what the, you know, some of the drug charges can be bullcrap. I mean, I understand that, but you're carrying a, you didn't help yourself any with all police officers by carrying a gun on you while you were doing that. So,
oh no,
it sucks. And again, I don't know how small the mistake would have to be, but that mistake just wasn't very small, unfortunately. So,
yep.
I hate it for him. I like Tim Jordan a lot. Hopefully he can go somewhere to maybe finish out his football career or finish out his academic career and get another shot, because it does suck that he's probably not going to be enrolled at Tennessee. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, a kid that hadn't really been in trouble since he's been here, at least from what we know of.
Enough to be public.
Right. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but we'll move on.
Yep, absolutely.
And then that opens up a slot for, you know, one of those freshmen, Lenneth Whitehead, T. Hodge. They could come in there and compete for that, you know, that third back, that bruiser back. I feel like Forrest Crouch will probably be when they get in heavy. But if they need to throw a guy out there on third down, on third and one, and get a couple yards, I feel like T. Hodge and Lenneth Whitehead, they're going to get that opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you mentioned Forrest Crouch is going to be in that goal line heavy. He's probably not going to be used much other places. He'll mm-hmm. probably be a starter on the roster this year on the defensive side of the ball. So they're going to keep him off the field as much as possible when right. they're on offense. But he did a good job at that position in terms of goal line. And I imagine don't fix it if it ain't broken.
Yep. He's a guy you want to give it to and not go over the top.
Exactly. more team news. Black jerseys are back. Alternate jerseys are back. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I know a lot of people just don't like it just because they just want orange and white. I get it. That's fine. That's your opinion. The team wants it. The coaches want it. The athletic department wants it. I think it's a great thing. Then Jeremy Pruitt announced, I want to see the transcript now because I want to find out who's lying. he said he would go to a Black Lives Matter type of organization. T. Martin clarified on Friday with the Swain event that it would be going to a local East Tennessee organization, I believe is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is, and that was a lot of people's issue with it, and that's fine. I didn't necessarily take issue with it, but I wanted it to see, and I mentioned it on Thursday, I wanted to see it stay in Knoxville or East Tennessee. I think you're going to do better by that. And it was interesting. Jarnell Stokes talked about, when we had him on, he talked about how it's hard to give when you don't have anything to give. This is something that the – and again, athletes, we've talked about it. NCAA athletes should at least be able to profit off their likeness. But they're going to be able to essentially profit off their likeness in terms of not profit off of it, but give from their likeness, because they're going to auction the jerseys off after the game, and that will go to a charitable organization. So everyone acting like the university is giving any of this money away, it's the guys giving the money away. They're the ones who are going to earn every penny that's made on these jerseys. I'm not – the number 72, I don't even know who wears it, but let's – who does wear that?
Darnell Wright.
I was about to say, I think that's Darnell Wright. That's not a good example. But you get it. Some walk-on freshman, that number isn't going to sell. The jerseys that sell – well, that one might if people want it that bad enough. But the ones that are going to auction for a very high price are the number three, the number 73. Those are going to auction for a very high price. They're making the money on their likeness and then giving it to charity. They should be able to give it to whatever charity they want to give it to.
Yeah, and I don't understand the people that are mad that, you know, the players wanted it.
Yeah.
So they're going to say that the players are wrong. The people that you pay lots of money to go see every Saturday, they're making the what they want isn't good enough.
That, yeah, and if you don't like it, just don't go. That's the easy solution. It's like,
yeah, or if you don't like the it's going to that or a certain organization that supports you know, people of color, then don't bid on it. Yeah. I mean,
it's not your money. That's the thing,
right? Yeah,
and I'm not I don't know what side I'd be on if the athletic department just came out and was like, we're giving $3 million to fill in an organization. I don't know how I'd feel. They haven't done that. I'm not worried about it. And it probably wouldn't be taxpayer money anyway. So is it even to be argued about? I don't know. But this money is made off the players playing the game. If you don't like it, like you said, don't bid on the jersey. Don't go to the game.
Yeah.
Don't buy concession stands.
If you want to
buy the parking pass.
Yeah, if you're that mad and want to sell your season tickets over this, then no. You won't be missed. No one will care.
No
one will care if Tim Smith with Confederate flags in his background on Facebook isn't going to buy season tickets. No one gives a crap.
The fact that you brought that up, that's the thing with NASCAR. They're like, you know, if you don't like it, just don't go. Like,
yeah.
Just don't go. It's not that hard. I don't know.
I won't watch it on my television. I won't do it.
No one is forcing me to go to a NASCAR race. And if they did, I would promptly kill myself because I don't like NASCAR. Just don't go. Don't go. Go race in your backyard with Johnny. I don't know. Go to the Smoky Mountain one. I'm sure they don't care.
Johnny.
Like, no one cares. If that's your opinion, that's your opinion. I'm not saying you're right or wrong or that you're stupid, but you're probably stupid. But just don't go. Don't give them your money. It's not that hard. I don't know. It's like this amazing thing in America where you can care, you can support whatever you want to support. And you might look dumb doing it, but it's your right to do that. So it's your right to look as stupid as you want to look.
Right, yeah.
No
one's going to care.
No, not at all.
But I do like how it's staying in East Tennessee. I think that's a good thing.
I mentioned that on Thursday. That's what I preferred. And I think I named one organization off, but and that was the Emerald Youth Foundation. And but I'm not saying it has to go to the Emerald Youth Foundation. That was one off the top of my head on Thursday. There, I've seen a lot of them mentioned. A lot of people actually tweeted back at the Swain event and named off some good ones. That would be one great thing to, you know, hopefully maybe they do. And in terms of having these players go out and research these organizations and letting the players should decide. Like I said, it's their earning and raising the money to do it. They should decide what organization it goes to. It's their money. It's that simple.
Yeah, and I like how Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he's given his, you know, Jarno Stokes talked about how they didn't really have a voice when he was here.
Right.
But Jeremy Pruitt is giving these players a voice and letting them make decisions.
Right.
So it's letting them wear black jerseys. You know, they wanted that. So he made it happen. Now, I think that's what it's going to do for change is just, you know, starting from the bottom and just letting people have their voice and listening to people that want that voice.
And it's going to certainly take guidance, but from everything I can tell, and I think most people can tell, they have guidance. Like I said, they should be able to give it to whoever they want, but I don't have a problem with the coaches being like, we're going to keep it in East Tennessee. Like, that money is going to do more here. That's fine. That's a good restriction, I think, to put on it. I don't know if they put that restriction on, but I think, for example, that would be a good one. I think they're, yes, let these young guys and these athletes have a voice, but they also need guidance and they need leadership. And from everything I can tell, they have great leadership in Jeremy Pruitt and then T. Martin, who's now the, I can't remember the exact title, but he's going to be working on some type of like culture committee within the program. And that's great. These guys seem to be leading the right way. And I've said it several times now. It's good that we're not only, you know, that hopefully soon we'll be cheering for a really good football team, but it's also good to know that there's also good people in the program and the program is good. And then that's that, because I'm a Tennessee fan, not because of how good they are at football. I mean, that's not it. I'm a Tennessee fan because I was born and raised here, bled orange since I was, you know, born, and I feel like I don't have a choice in who I cheer for. So it's good to me to know that there's people within the organization that have a, you know, great character and care about human beings.
Yep. And I like how, you know, the main thing that was wrong with this program before Jeremy Pruitt took over was the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is a specific committee with T. Martin heading that up to change the culture. And I feel like he's done a good job of, you know, establishing leadership throughout the program. And it's like, how can somebody be mad about that? Like, people were just mad on Facebook and, you know, some people on Twitter saying that this is about politics. This isn't about politics at all. It's about, you know, changing that culture. It's about leading a football team the right way. And so I'm sure in that interview with Fulmer, I'm sure like he was asked, how is he going to change the culture? And he's taken that and ran with it.
Right.
And done a great job so far. So I don't have any complaints with all this. I think it's great. You know, maybe Pruitt was, and I think a lot of that just comes from not being educated on what is out there. Cause honestly, like, don't know that many off the top of my head of charities and organizations out there that you could give the money to.
No.
So he just said support. He probably didn't really mean Black Lives Matter, but a lot of people were taking that the wrong way, and that's not what it was meant to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I would like to see either the official transcript or the video of it. But at the same time, who cares? Did he maybe he misspoke? Maybe he didn't. Maybe that's what he said at the time, and since then has gone and looked at better organizations to give that money to, and that's fine with me too. So
yep,
it is what it is. I like what Jeremy Pruitt's doing within the football program. I like what Philip Fulmer's doing within the athletic department. I hope the other teams are doing something similar, but it's the football team's obviously going to be the front and center, so that's why. Yep. They're getting all the these players are stepping up. Trey Smith, Alante Taylor, I'm trying to remember who all spoke at that rally.
Aaron Calvert.
These guys they're stepping up, and it's their personal beliefs and their personal, what they feel that they should speak out about. And like you said, it's great that they should be allowed to have this voice, and it's great that they do.
Yeah, and you know, this program has kind of started this. They've kind of been on the forefront of this charge, where you've seen a lot of negative headlines with some coaches and some programs across the country. But Tennessee seems to be doing it the right way, mm-hmm. And I think that just goes to show the leadership on this team.
Right.
Hopefully, it translates to wins, though.
looking at black jerseys is while we're talking about this right now. They announced the black jerseys are back. What do you want the black jerseys to look like? And what helmet do you want with them? And do we wear orange pants, or do we wear black pants or gray pants or a different, what do you think? What do you want?
I don't know. I want to see what all black would look like.
I wouldn't hate all black, but here's my thing. I need the power tee on the helmet, the orange power tee. That's something I need.
But I feel like it's not. I would like to see black helmets. I would like to see gray helmets.
If they rolled out the smoky gray helmets, I would not complain.
But I mean, they sold them in that yard sale, so I doubt. I mean, they could probably.
Yeah.
Right. They could probably make them. I don't know. I just want to see a mock up of of something.
And that's another thing I'm curious. Do we get to see them before either the season or the game, or are they just going to roll them out there for the game?
And are all those going to, is it going to be like a alternate uniform, or is it going to be just like this one time thing? So right. If it's just a one time thing, you probably just have, orange pants, white helmet, black jerseys,
which I just doesn't look. I think you have to have another helmet. I think you have to have either a black or gray helmet, and then orange pants, I think, would look great. I mean, orange pants, first off, orange britches with anything, like, and everything, orange britches.
I like the black face. If you're gonna do a white helmet, you gotta do a black face mask. You can't have an all white.
Okay, yeah.
You gotta have some black. But I saw a mock-up of a black face mask. It looks a lot better.
Yeah, no, it definitely would look a lot better. And I'm not crazy. I don't know. I think it was the Vol recruiting edit dude who did one with it had the orange sleeve cuffs and the orange neck and. Just not crazy about it. I'm not. Orange and black clash. Our orange and black clash a little bit, I think. I think you need or the right amount of orange, I guess. Because, we all know the black jerseys that they rolled out on Halloween in 2009 were ugly as hell. Now, they were awesome, mm-hmm. but they were so right. ugly. I don't know. I'm curious to see. I think all black on the uniform, maybe with an orange power tee in the middle or on the neck or something like that. Here's the thing about black, my opinion. Black's a simple color, so the simpler, the better. I don't think you need a lot.
I agree.
It just needs to be black. That's it. It's that simple. And I wouldn't hate like a gray or black pant with it. Orange would be better, but I wouldn't hate.
What if they got some orange pants? Because I know the stripes coming back. So what if they got some black stripes on the orange pants? Do you think that's too much?
I'd be interested to see it.
Okay.
I'd be interested to see it. I think
I'm trying to think it up in my head. It doesn't really look that great in my head, but it.
But it probably looks better than white stripes.
Yeah, it probably does. Yeah, with the black jersey. Yeah.
Or maybe 100%. Hang on to the plain orange pants for that night. I don't know. I'll tell you this. It's gonna look good. Finally, we have something that looks good with those black cleats. Whew. Those are ugly, man. Are we gonna be allowed to wear? Is Tennessee gonna wear black socks that night? Because God, that uniform could be ugly.
It could be, yeah. Hopefully. We wore white socks last year, right?
White, definitely in 18. Honestly, I'm going to say yes in 19, but I can't remember. Yeah, we're going to look like the dang Ice Bears out there with their alternate jerseys. Or the, you know, the Hawaiian ones that the Smokies wear and sell?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. That's a like a minor league baseball team.
Yeah, you could. I have faith in Nike that they get this one right. I mean, the Smokey Grays were awesome. People can say what they want. They want orange, they want white, that's fine. But the Smokey Grays were a great alternate uniform.
And I didn't dislike the ones that we wore with Adidas, other than we didn't have a gray helmet or a different color helmet. The white helmet with that gray was awful. I didn't hate those gray jerseys. The only thing I hated about those jerseys wasn't the gray. It was the tire tread mark on the chest. But that was on the orange and white ones, too.
Right.
That was terrible. I don't know who at Adidas was like, let's make it look like we ran over them with Michelin tires. That'll look fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Idiots. Adidas just misses, man, on everything. It's the journey. Dude,
they're, they're bad. But they make some great shoes.
They do,
but
we'll give them that. They make some great shoes.
Yeah, their uniforms that they made for us were absolute trash.
And then all their soccer uniforms looked the same. Like, everybody in the World Cup that wore Adidas, outside of, like, Germany, everybody looked the same. It's terribly stupid.
And they buy, like, all the thread for one color.
You remember that, I think it was while we were in high school, that big thing of the feathers or the wings on the sleeves, and every Adidas team, even if they weren't a bird mascot, had those.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Then terribly stupid. Whatever.
Auburn, you're War Eagle, right? Yeah, you get the feather.
we need an Auburn historian on to explain. I've read, I think, the War Eagle story, but I need a full. Surely they recognize that it's dumb, right?
Yeah, I just don't like. Do you want to be the Eagles or you want to be the Tigers? Just pick one.
I think I may be misremembering this. I think it has to do with they have that eagle fly before the game, and somebody yelled War Eagle and it became a thing. But I'm with you. I feel like you have to choose at that point. Like, are you the Eagles or the Tigers? Like, you can't.
Yeah, you
both.
Can't. No, you can't. Unless you're like on Avatar or something where everything's combined. It's like
it's actually pretty sweet.
Tiger Eagle.
Wait, like Avatar the Last Airbender or the movie Avatar?
The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender is awesome. I watched the first couple episodes the other day.
Oh, did you? I finished it last week.
Yeah, so I have nothing left to watch on Netflix. I've watched everything.
I started Schitt's Creek.
I haven't watched Schitt's Creek, but I've watched interviews and like snippets of it, so I think I would like it. I need to watch it. You're right.
Yeah, I started watching that.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
but dude, I hope we do a blackout. I'm gonna wear black. So I didn't see a lot of people mentioning this, but hey, we'll me and you will start it. Blackout. We're doing a blackout.
I look terrible in black.
I'm wearing black.
I'm just kidding.
No, you look great in black.
Everybody looks great in black.
Yeah, black with I see those all the time. It's like black with the orange power tee. Yeah,
it's gonna look like the concession stand shirts.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. We're all gonna have to go on eBay and order the black jerseys from 2000. Was it 12?
9.
11.
Oh, 9.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Give them us here in 09. Yeah. I know. I still have a black and gray Nike jersey from the Smoky Gray jersey. How's that?
Yeah.
I haven't worn it in a while, but I wore it for the Auburn game in 2018, actually.
Nice.
And then I wore it to Alabama the next week, and we got – was that Alabama? Yeah. I think it was Alabama, and we got waxed.
So. Love it.
I wore it thinking it was a lucky jersey, so I wore it again, kind of knowing that I would never have to wear it again. So that was good. Yeah.
It was good. Awesome. So you didn't wear anything that you, like, didn't want to lose.
Nothing that I wanted. Yeah, nothing that could be bad luck after that. So.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I'm going – so you said you want – let's see. You want a blackout, number one. I'm going to blackout for sure.
Yeah, 100%. But, yeah, I would like to – I think it would be cool to see – especially if it was a night game. I don't know if it will, but that would be really cool if they could at least have it at night.
Right. I kind of want to – I kind of don't want to see them until they run out of the tunnel, because that would be a cool feeling, like seeing them when they – because I wasn't there.
Taking you back, baby, 09.
So I wasn't there for that game, but I remember I think I was like the only person on Twitter then. Not the only person, but I was of a select few on Twitter. And
gotcha.
Seeing all the updates on Twitter, black jerseys, black jerseys, black jerseys. I was like, holy crap. I think it was Halloween, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was, yeah. So it was a, like, I mean, we were watching the game, but we weren't watching the game. So
gotcha.
Immediately ran to the TV to, I think they showed them running out of the tunnel, or at least immediately after them running out of the tunnel. So I kind of, I kind of want to, like you said, chase that feeling. And then this year against South Carolina, I guess they announced the orange britches. Was that South Carolina? Was that when they first
surprised? Mississippi State.
It was Mississippi State?
Yeah, because South Carolina, it was Mississippi State. Okay. You're right.
So Mississippi State, I guess I just wasn't on Twitter all day because we were tailgating. And no, it was South Carolina. It was South Carolina. Yeah, we wore
orange played Mississippi State first.
Yeah, but I don't think we wore orange britches for that game. I don't think we did. We did? Look that up. Fact check.
Okay, I'm
pretty sure it's South Carolina, though. And I'm basing this off of how drunk I was, because I wasn't that drunk for Mississippi State because it was a noon game. And I wasn't on Twitter much because when I start drinking, Emily gets on to me about this.
Yeah, it was Mississippi State.
We wore orange pants?
Yep.
Huh. I guess South Carolina was just another surprise then. I don't know. But it wasn't expected. And I remember them running out of the tunnel, and I was like, oh, my God, we're in orange pants.
So. Yeah, that's Tyler Bird and his touchdown.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, I remember being a surprise against South Carolina. So
yeah,
that's the point. Yeah. So I kind of want that feeling again.
Yeah, just to come out and surprise it, like that crowd would be electric.
Yes.
If you come out, you know, first side is when they come out of the tunnel.
Hey, speaking of Mississippi State, did you see where Hill? Is that his name? Hill. Said he was not going to play if the Mississippi State flag didn't change. The state of Mississippi flag didn't change.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the government isn't – I mean, we all know the top people. I have – if you want to talk to me about the racist people that live in Mississippi, I have personal experiences, not that were racist towards me, obviously, but were racist people. I'll gladly – I won't share that story now on the air. But we'll gladly tell you that story because it is, I think it's the first time in my life, I was pretty young. The first time in my life, I was like, holy crap, there are some shitty people.
Yeah. They're everywhere. People.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting for sure. We wore orange pants against South Carolina, didn't we? Now I don't even know about that. We probably
did. We did at Kentucky.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see, though, how Mississippi – I mean, what's his name is probably freaking out right now, right? Because they weren't going to be able to throw the ball this year. Mike Leach.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're
Well, when I first read that, I was like, well, it doesn't matter because he hates running the ball anyway. So
we didn't wear orange pants in South Carolina. My memory sucks. I thought I had the memory of an elephant. I had the memory of a squirrel.
Psych.
Yeah, I guess it was Mississippi State. God, that just did not feel like a – I don't know. It didn't feel like a big tailgate. And I thought I remember tailgating like all day leading up to the Orange Britches. Mm. Oh, well. It is what it is. We did tailgate that game because I remember being called insane. I think we showed up like 8 a.m. for that one, and like six people showed up because it was a noon game after – the
Georgia
game, right? Mm-hmm. Georgia the week before? Yeah, so everybody had kind of given up on the season.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, because that was a must win. I think it was like crappy weather.
It started off, I think, crappy. I think it was supposed to rain in the morning, but
it got better.
Yeah, I think the day was better. And then that day, South Carolina, as we were getting back to the tailgate, South Carolina kicked or went into overtime with Georgia. That was that day.
Beat them. Yeah, beat them.
That was that day. Let's get into position preview, though. We're talking safeties. Like we said, this is a position of, I know you lost Nigel Warrior, and that's a pretty big loss, especially where you consider where he was at the end of the season. That's a big loss. One of the best players on the team when you're talking about the Kentucky-Missouri games, the final few games of the season. So obviously that's a big loss there. But overall, man, you return some great talent and even bring in some freshman talent that you expect to be pretty solid.
I think Jalen McCullough will be a starter along with Trayvon Flowers. McCullough had a big spring game. I don't know if you remember, he had those two interceptions during the spring game. So everybody was like, oh man, this dude's legit.
29.
And then started the final six games. And he's part of that Pro Football Focus all freshman team. Mm-hmm. So I had a really good freshman year, played a lot. So I'll probably bank on him starting. And then Trayvon Flowers will probably be the guy behind him. He was starting before he was injured. So two seasons, he's had two season-ending injuries. And this one was he got the interception at Mississippi State and broke his leg as he got tackled.
Right.
So just kind of freak accidents, very unfortunate. But I feel like the staff likes Trayvon Flowers. He hasn't played a lot of football. I think his senior year was the first season he had ever played football. He was a Kentucky baseball commit. He's a super athletic kid. I know he works a lot with Oliver Davis down in Atlanta. I think Kamar Wilcoxon actually works there too, along with Bryce Dobson. So I think both of those guys will be your starters. And I just hope Trayvon Flowers is able to stay healthy because, man, that's – and it was like the – I think it was like the fifth or sixth game of the season where he couldn't redshirt.
Yeah.
So you missed like pretty much the whole season. But then behind him you had Theo Jackson. He actually came in after Trayvon Flowers went out before Jalen McCullough took over. He played well. He plays a lot in the dime package when they have like a lot of DBs on the field. Tyus Fields, you have Brandon Davis, Cheyenne LaBruzza. Then the newcomers would be Keyshawn Lawrence, Denico Slaughter, and Tamarian McDonald.
I've seen a lot of people talk about how they're excited for Tyus Fields. I'm curious to see his play. He'll definitely be relied on a lot. Hopefully those guys are healthy and he's not having to start because he will be a sophomore this year. But, I mean, he's going to see the field a lot.
Hey, he'll actually be a redshirt freshman. You redshirted.
Yeah. And then you talk about the newcomers, Keyshawn Lawrence and then Nico Slaughter. Obviously, Keyshawn Lawrence is going to be that guy that's – I mean, there's a chance he could be relied on a lot this year, especially if he's a five-star, highly rated. If he lives up to expectations, I think he'll be on the field a lot too.
Yeah, I like those two. I don't know if Tamarian McDonald ends up being a safety. He's a bigger kid, so maybe he could switch down to linebacker or maybe – like a star role if they want to change that a little bit. I don't know. I like Denico Slaughter and Keyshawn Lawrence. I think that are two guys that could play multiple positions in that secondary. And two guys that are – Keyshawn, I feel like, is just an athletic freak, and Denico Slaughter is one that will hit anybody anywhere at any time.
Yeah, he lives up to his name for sure.
Right, 100%.
And you talked about that star position. I'm sure we'll talk about him with defensive backs as well. But Sean Chamber is expected to start there. And he's a guy, too, kind of not as much as Warrior, but he kind of came along, too, at the end of the 2019. I'm excited for him. He's going to be asked to be a leader on this defense, and I think he can be very impactful in 2020.
Yeah, I just want to see picks, man. I like pick sixes. That's probably the most exciting thing in football is a pick six.
Well, that's what I was about to say for Sean Schamberger. I want to see him create turnovers. He's going to have the opportunity to create a lot. That star position, you find yourself kind of in on the action quite a bit. So if Sean Schamberger can create some turnovers, I really like where this defense could be.
Well, and with him, could he move to safety if Baylen Buchanan – is the star position. Do they move Schamberger back to safety and let it be him and Jalen McCollough, probably not Trayvon Flowers. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see those. I think Jalen McCollough is definitely the starter for sure.
Right.
And depending on what Trayvon Flowers is, health wise.
Right.
Well,
options. You talked about Baylen Buchanan. I mean, he's going to, I think they want to find a way to get all this talent on the field. So hopefully you expect Lonte Taylor to kind of come back into his role and play alongside Bryce Thompson there. And then you have Kenneth George behind him and some other guys. And then obviously Baylen. I'd be curious to see if they, because they want to get the most talented guys on the field. That's something they would like to see. And whether that's Sean Schamberger at that star, Baylen Buchanan, I don't know. I think that's an interesting point that I would be curious to see. Right now, I think I want Sean Schamberger there. I just feel like he played that role really, really well at the end of the season.
Mm. Yeah, I think with this, I think he did too, especially, you know, coming off blitzes and things like that. It seems like at the end of the season, he kind of figured it out.
Right.
Whereas the end of the season, he was kind of running around with his head cut off a little bit. But, you know, he seemed to figure it out. Mm. And I think he has a lot of upside.
Right
there, whereas Baylen Buchanan's kind of a safer option, but I feel like the upside's there for Schamberger.
Right, and does it help maybe moving Baylen Buchanan there too? I mean, you got Warren Burrell too. I didn't mention him. What happened at the end of the season? Like, where was he at the end of the season, 2020?
I mean, I know Bryce came back, so that was It was when Bryce came back, he was kind of just lost.
Right.
But I mean, at that point, I don't think he played necessarily bad, but he didn't play very well either.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I mean, he was a guy that was relied on a lot early in the season. You mentioned Bryce Thompson wasn't there, and then
he was the starter when Bryce was out.
And then you mentioned, you know, then we just talked about how Lonte Taylor was kind of on the shit list after the BYU game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jerry Pruitt is going to rotate a lot of guys at that corner position. There's a, you know, not that Taylor and Thompson won't see the majority of the time, but it's a lot of move. I mean, think about how often the corners blitz in Jeremy Pruitt's defense. Think about how often the defensive backs blitz. I mean, you can't play a whole game there.
Oh yeah, they'll bring anybody at any time. So I think that's what's big with this safety group is who can play better in the run game.
Yeah.
If you can produce in the run game, if you can blitz a quarterback and get to him, you're probably going to have a better chance of seeing the field. And that's why I think Keyshawn Lawrence and Danico Slaughter have a good chance of seeing the field early just because they rotate so many guys.
Right.
You know, at times it seems like they have 11 DBs on the field.
They do.
Not true, but it seems like it.
Not 11. But that's another thing I was going to say in terms of looking at these safeties and this defensive backs. I mean – you do have a good – if you're not even that second guy, you do have a good chance of getting on the field, especially on third down. Jeremy Pruitt loves those sets with a lot of defensive backs on the field. You're right. It's not 11, but it's a lot of them in there, especially on third down. You're going to see a lot of defensive backs. If you're a defensive back on Jeremy Pruitt's defense, that alone gives you a good chance of being on the field.
Right. I want to see ball hawks. I want to see picks. I want to see hard hits.
I don't think I don't think the hard hitting is going to be lacking in this group. I don't have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, not a lot of targeting, but a lot of hard hits. That's what I want.
Right, absolutely. I'm excited for this safety group, this offensive back group as a whole. I think Jerry Pruitt has done a good job not only developing but recruiting that talent as well. And then obviously, you know, this is looking way forward, but to 2021, there's going to be some even more, you know, help on the way coming in that class.
Yeah.
I expect a lot out of these safeties. I know – that's probably with Nigel Warrior leaving. I know that's probably asking a lot, but I feel like you had the chance to. There wasn't a ton of pressure on you last year. You had the chance to kind of develop, and I know two guys were injured, but I feel like that gives you even more of a reason to be better as a group in 2020.
Yeah, gotta be. Gotta be able to develop guys. You know, it took Nigel Warrior kind of 3 years to figure it out and put it all together. So hopefully, you know, with the Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley defense, you're able to see these guys develop a lot earlier than you did Nigel Warrior.
Yeah, and before we get done talking about, I do want to mention, I mean, it's going to help this group a lot if we actually get some pressure on the quarterback. And there's a lot of questions I know surrounding the defensive line, the pass rushers. But if the pass rush is half good this year, I'm confident that these safeties can create a lot of trouble in the secondary.
Yep.
You ready to go to Doug's? Ready to talk some Duggerton? I'm baffled.
I mean, there's not a lot to talk about. We won the Natty, and he's gone.
I do want to – why? I'm not asking why you leave Tennessee. I get that. You want to move on. You want to get more people involved. Why go back to Toledo? Yeah. You gained all this publicity. You know all these other schools were watching Tennessee generate these clicks. I mean, ask Georgia and Florida who couldn't stop tweeting about it. Why not go to another Division I FBS Power 5 program with a social media presence? You could sell more T-shirts. That's what I don't understand about it.
Yeah, I don't get that either. And if you want to go back-to-back, you're not going to be able to do that at Toledo.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Bart – it makes you wonder, is Barstool even give a shit about the money? Because they're not going to make any money doing this at Toledo. They had 115,000 – that is the dumbest number ever, by the way. 115,000 people watching – and I'm not making fun of it. I was one of those 115. Watching that national championship game, that's just – it baffles me. A six-year-old video game of a dude who sucks playing it. It's mind-boggling, honestly.
Yeah, he's not very good. So, yeah, he's definitely not going to win one at Toledo.
Not a chance. He plays Tennessee this year, actually. So, little revenge game for Tennessee to get back on their head coach leaving.
I know who I'm cheering for.
I'm baffled that they didn't go to another. Wisconsin would have been a great school for him. I'm sure Wisconsin football would have gladly done pretty much what Tennessee did with Duggerton. Maybe I'm wrong.
Which was that an option?
I didn't watch the carousel because I knew he was leaving.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I forgot. But I think Michigan State was. I mean, you had Power 5. Again, I just don't get if you're. And I mean, you're gonna.
You've already been there.
You're trying to generate clicks is what you're trying to do, and that's just what I don't understand. About right. It's weird.
Yeah.
Strange. You got a most important. Oh, I'm sorry.
I do have a most important. It's Eli Manning got his number 10 jersey retired at Ole Miss.
Nice. So
along with his dad and Chucky Mullins are the two others at Ole Miss.
Did his dad wear number 10 or did his dad wear 18?
His dad wore 18.
Okay, so I think we can go ahead and bank on little Manning not going there, right? He can't wear 10 or 18.
Yeah.
And 18 was not only his granddad's number, it was also his dad's number.
Yeah, so he can come here and play wear 18.
He does wear 16 at Newman, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got another Manning, yeah. Most important.
Maybe they let him wear 16 here. I'm sure his uncle would be fine with that.
I think here's my hot take about that. I don't think you should be allowed to retire number. Okay, that's not true. You should be allowed to retire numbers for, like, very prominent people. Like, New York should retire number 2, right? Like, New York Yankees. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But typically, I feel like you should just retire jerseys. Because wouldn't you run out of numbers eventually anyways if you had a half-good program?
Yeah.
And then, like, Johnny Majors, they didn't retire his number, right? They just retired his jersey. Because, I mean, I know A.J. Johnson wore 45.
Yeah, but has anybody worn it since?
Okay, you stumped me. I don't know. I can pull it up real quick.
I think he was the last person to wear it.
Was he? So did it? But I didn't think it got retired while he was there. Did it?
Unless they had it back.
Yeah. I do know when Peyton Manning retired his, Rick Clawson was wearing it, and he changed to 7 at least for that game. I don't know if he finished out the season in number 16 or 7. That I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm looking it up. I'm trying to pull up 45 right now to see. Because I'm with you. I don't know if anybody wears it.
Do you have any more most important?
I do have most important. It's another Manning, actually. Peyton Manning donated – nobody wears 45. Peyton Manning donated to several schools that were affected by the hurricanes in southeast Tennessee. I don't know if it was just these four, but it was Central, East Hamilton, Grace, I believe that's a private school, and Ootawah, down in the Chattanooga area that were hit by some tornadoes pretty bad. I think I said hurricanes, sorry. Tornadoes pretty bad in April, I think, maybe March. And he donated, I can't remember the exact number, $5,000 to $10,000 to each program. and actually originally did not want them to know that it was Peyton, I don't think. Apparently, this is a funny story. Apparently, he called the athletic director, I think, of Udawa, and somebody was like, hey, Peyton Manning wants to donate, you know, money to you all. And he thought it was a prank. Like, he didn't believe it was real. Which is fair. I don't know if, you know, if I got that phone call from about Peyton Manning, I don't know if I'd believe it either.
Yeah, I probably think it was a prank, too.
Yeah, and Peyton, you know, Peyton's always giving back. And it's good to see, too. I don't know what all, if he's involved much with the Chattanooga area. He does, fun fact, own a golf course or have ownership in a golf course just north of Chattanooga in South Pittsburgh.
Didn't he still do, like, St. Mary's and stuff, too?
I'm sure. Is there a St. Mary's in Chattanooga?
I'm just talking about all the St. Mary's. He used to be in, like, every single one of their commercials and everything like that. I just assumed that he'd still be with them.
Oh, he's very, like, charitable giving. I mean, I think he pretty much, I don't know how it works, but he opened that children's hospital in Indianapolis. So, I don't know if it's named for him or what. I don't really know. But, yeah, I mean, he's always definitely given charitably. So, which the guy can afford it, okay?
Right. Yep. He's not hurting for money.
No. Not at all. Any more most importance?
I don't.
Most importance. I don't think I have any either. Dude, I do need to say this. This isn't most important. I was at Calhoun's on the River on Saturday. A beautiful day. It was storming for like an hour, right? Beautiful day. And right. Man, let me tell you, Neyland Stadium looked gorgeous. I mean.
I saw that sexy video of you.
It was sexy. Like.
You're over there drooling. You're spilling some of your beer was going down the. On your chest.
So
it was getting into your taco meat you had hanging out. You're going a little buttons.
I wore an undershirt that day, McGuy. Don't get on. Because I would have sweat through that shirt. It was hot. But that video was not candid. But there was a video before I cussed in it, so I made Emily take another one so I could post it. The first video I was just staring at Neyland, and Emily was like, "What are you looking at?" I was like, "Damn, I can't wait to be there." It's like, I just want to be in her so bad.
So fun.
I miss Neyland Stadium. I miss it so much.
Yeah, like, I miss the troughs. I miss everything. Like
everything.
Me getting, like, walking home and having to pick popcorn out of my shoes. And, you know, I just miss everything. Everything about it. Or the peanuts. I guess the peanuts. I got to pick peanuts.
I still think you're eating peanuts wrong.
I don't eat them.
Are they in the box?
I can't be buying a $10 popcorn box at Neyland Stadium. You know how cheap I am.
It sounds like the peanuts are in your shoes. Do you mean like on the bottom of your shoes?
Yeah. Okay. Like pick it out of the bottom. Yeah, gotcha. Sorry.
It sounded like you're like dropping them in your socks.
Yeah.
Crack open a peanut and just drop
save that for later.
Yeah. I miss tailgating. I miss, dude, the walk from the tailgate to the stadium has become the most fun part for me of game days.
It's tough, but yeah, we get there.
Well, you know, it got a little bit longer this year because of where we tailgated, which I love that tailgating spot. I don't want to change it. And then, like I said, this has become one of my most fun parts. Like, we all started walking together. Everybody started leaving at the same time. It was just a fun time. And you know, a little bit of trash talk maybe to other fans. Mostly, though, mostly high fives.
It's harmless.
Exactly. Most high fives to Vol fans and maybe a beer or two on the way. It was a good time.
I like our goodbyes. You know, how we just like part our separate ways.
We all sit on like opposite ends of the stadium.
Yeah.
We have north, south, east, and west covered.
And we always end it with go balls.
Exactly. It's a, yeah.
I'm going to shed a tear just thinking about it, man.
I know. I miss it so bad. I miss it so bad. I can't wait to do it again. And then the meetup after wins, that's the best. Cause who?
It's electric.
It's always when we see each other across the parking lot. It's like hands up, like, how about them Vols? What about them Vols? Something along those lines. It's a
chest bump.
Yeah, it's a good. We can't be doing that anymore. No more chest bumps.
Well, I'll still chest bump you.
I'm just kidding. Everybody's especially like imagine. See, that's why you can't have people in the stadium. Cause if we score a touchdown, I'm high fiving everyone within a reachable distance to me.
Yeah.
That's how I've always done it, and I'm not gonna change.
I'm
not gonna change. No pandemic can stop me from being who I am.
Take that, COVID. You got any fails?
I do have a couple fails, actually. And my first one, my second one's kind of long. So my first one is by the Unbiased American Sports. I think you saw this. They rank sports by difficulty, and there were 60 total. some of them I loosely called them people. They loosely called them sports. I'll just read off the first 10. Fair.
Yeah.
Number one was boxing. Number two was ice hockey, which I'm going to stop there because if you've ever even skated, you know that ice hockey should be number one. Like all that goes, on in to play ice hockey is probably makes it the hardest sport to physically just get onto the ice. Number three is football. Number four is basketball. Number five is wrestling. Number six is martial arts. Number seven is tennis. Number eight is gymnastics. Number nine is baseball or softball. And number 10 was soccer. I don't understand how so many combat sports can be in the top 10.
Because yeah, like wrestling, that doesn't make – like wrestling is fake. Well, it should be like dead last.
I don't think it was that wrestling. Also, Easy, you are going to get some hate from the wrestling crowd for calling it fake.
Oh, sorry, Mayor.
Oh, I've seen some. They wouldn't. If you call it fake, they will go after you. It's incredible.
Well, it's fake. So there you go.
I hope you get RKO'd by somebody tonight.
I hope I do too. That would actually be a funny story to tell people.
It would be. But I just don't understand. Like, I feel like half the battle in boxing is being a psychopath, right? Or an MMA. That's half the battle.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of those. Like, yeah, rugby is another one. Like, you have to be a certain amount of psychopath.
Like, you know, you gotta throw the ball. You have to catch. Like, you have more athletic movements in it than. And I'm not saying boxing isn't difficult. It's obviously difficult. I don't know. To be number one, though, I have to pump the brakes.
Yeah,
football number three? I don't even know if it's the third most challenging sport I've ever played.
No, it's not.
I mean, there are difficult aspects of the sport of football.
If you're able to play it in your backyard, it's not that difficult.
So cornhole doesn't do it for you?
Nah.
No. Also, as a track guy, you might appreciate it. So my favorite event to watch in track was the 4x400. And then second was the triple jump. Triple jump's ranked number 34. You have to be insanely athletic and coordinated to do the triple jump.
Yeah.
And then think about being good at the triple jump.
Yeah, you got to do it a lot.
I mean, I don't think we could go and pull. Okay, I feel like you have to exclude the guys who have done the triple jump. But I bet if we went down to Tennessee's facility right now and pulled out three skill position guys, gave them an hour to learn it, I don't think they'd be great at it.
No.
They'd be probably mediocre. That's a difficult thing to do. And it's ranked 34th. Yeah. And you know what? I'll concede golf, too. I don't even know what number it is. 51. Because, like, recreational golf, I feel like if you get to ride in a car, I feel firm in the stance. If you get to ride in a car for more than half the time, it's not a sport.
Well, putt-putt killed golf. Like, it may, like.
That's good. Yeah, there's some interesting ones, man. There's some interesting
ones. My only fail is the University of Virginia modifying their logo.
Dude.
I don't understand. Like, they literally just took the grip off of it and made the V a little lighter.
Do you remember what it had to do? Like, it had something to do with.
It had slavery. I don't know. I just don't understand the grip on the handle has to do with that.
Right. I can't.
I don't know. It just doesn't look like a big difference to me.
Yeah, this is one of those that I have to kind of take a backseat on because I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I guess that's why it's a fail for me. I just don't get, like, if it's you didn't change it that much, if it was a big deal.
That's fair. Yeah.
So,
my last fail. So I'm gonna try to tell this story correctly because it's kind of a long story. But if I don't, and you can go do my fact check for me. I actually retweeted it, so it's on my Twitter page. So somebody tweeted, since we were on the topic of Russian sports, I don't know why we were on that topic, but I guess we were, here's a nice cautionary tale on the not really post COVID world. The Russian Premier League restarted today. I think this was Friday, Saturday. And, holy crap, did it restart with an enormous and enormously stupid scandal. An entire team got infected. So an entire team tested positive for COVID-19, right? Okay. An entire team, enough players inside the facility tested positive that it was determined that the entire team got infected. Like, everyone, including the coaching staff and support staff, had to be quarantined. So they weren't able to play their game on Friday or Saturday. They asked the other, so they were like in the one of the top spots for the Premier League, the Russian Premier League, if, you know, one or two. And the other team they were playing was also in the running for first, second, third place, whatever, like a higher spot in the league. So they asked them to reschedule the match, and they told them no. They're like, no, you have to forfeit. Like, we're not going to reschedule. Even though their team, entire team had tested, had been infected by COVID. So this, the team that's infected decides to send their youth squad. So no one over the age of 17 years old to play this team. And they got slaughtered. I think it was 10-1 was the final.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they did not let up at all. Like, they scored like 7 goals, which is more than enough, and decided to score 3 more. I think the youth league scored in the first minute, if I remember correctly. That's awesome, I guess. That's a good story.
Good Lord. Insane. That's like, it's not even sending your B team. That's like sending your, like, that's like sending the kids of the players to go. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, these kids are young. Like, I think there was a 15 and a 16, like, I think several 16-year-olds, I think a 15-year-old maybe, playing in this game. And then they didn't even get to send, like, their first team manager. Like, the manager, the coach that went with them, was the academy team's manager. Like, it wasn't sending – they didn't at least get world-class coaching or anything like that. They got their normal coaching. It's sending a youth team to go and get slaughtered by the best – one of the best teams in the best league in the country.
Yeah, that's like putting your – like, your weakest people on the front line. So,
it's exactly it.
Setting them up for failure. That's awful.
Well, and you know, it's like they either had to forfeit or send this team. So, and I'm sure the good thing is, I'm sure the youth players were like, oh, this is awesome. Like, we get to play in, we're first team players. So that's cool, I guess. But yeah, you got.
They let them score and got their hopes up, and then they just slaughtered them.
They did score one goal, though, which I feel is an important note of this story. I'm just like, here's my question. If you're the team that refused to reschedule, do you not understand that that's going to come back to bite you in the ass? Like, at some point, you're going to need something from that other team. Something. And it's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to give you any leeway.
Right.
That's pretty dumb. Pretty dumb. But whatever. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
That's it. Guys, I want to thank you all for listening. I know it's been a little bit different. Appreciate you all always joining us when we're live. Had fun, like always. You can catch us later this week. I don't think we've decided a day, right?
No, we'll probably – Wednesday or Thursday will probably be. Yeah.
So look out for that.
We can do it.
Right. Look out for that show. We'll be live Wednesday or Thursday night around the same time. So just make sure you're looking out. And then next week we'll be back to normal. Don't know exactly what's on the schedule for Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day, but are talking Furman, going back to our opponent previews, and going to get more in depth with our opponents this year before the season starts, assuming the season starts. I'm banking on it. I want to make that walk to Neyland.
Just take that, George Quarles. Yeah. That's all we got. Go check out Volunteer Roadshow. They got a lot more content, a lot more shows on there. Keep an eye out for them. And that's all we got. I'm going to go eat some Jet's Pizza. So we're bringing the boat in, and we out.